This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. This half hour being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Outstanding because he throws his heart and soul into it, and he does an outstanding job, and I can't wait to see him on Saturday. Tony Caltricone, welcome, Tony. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Heart and soul for sure. After last year, I think I lost my voice for about 6 months after last season's 14-1 run. We had a lot of fun.
Well, they gave you a lot last year, which I want to get to Jed and Jed Fish and what he has done. To have the turnover in roster and to have a short window on runway to do it, what kind of job has he done to get them to this point?
Really good job. I mean, I think he's a really good coach. I think that it was unfortunate that it wasn't just we were already going to lose 13 NFL guys after last year's team. But then to lose the head coach and all the staff to go, and then to have this new era where when the coach goes, the transfer portal window opens up for 30 days. So you can lose a lot out, but you can't really get a whole lot in other than from maybe a couple other programs that lose their coach in a similar situation. It was really hard. Like, it was really hard getting through spring ball. I think we had, like, seven or eight offensive linemen. You know, we didn't even have it too deep. And what he did, trying to galvanize the support of not only just putting a roster together, but doing it for a transition into the Big Ten Conference with more travel, with, you know, against programs with bigger budgets, more resources, crossing time zones, all this stuff. This has been a very difficult transition, and, you know, here we are, 5-4, bowl eligibility kind of still hanging out there as a thing that we could get, and really, you know, I think we really got straight up beat in two games this year. There were two other games where you got a lot of self-inflicted wounds from a young football team against Washington State and Rutgers that cost Washington those games.
Yep.
Where they outgained Washington State by 100 and won the turnover margin and still lost the game. That was the first time in 15 years they lost a game under those conditions. And then they outgained Rutgers by 222 and still lose the game. It was only the second time in Husky history that's ever happened. So, like, they've played well. Now it's just about, like, can this young team kind of come together? And I think once he has a chance to, like, recruit his own guys, get in the transfer portal, fill some of the holes, and have multiple portals to do that with, I think Washington will be really good next year. But it's about trying to lay that foundation this year and finish this year strong. That's what's still hanging out there for Washington over the last three games.
Tony, the player that Jack Ham and I keep talking, and we've talked about him for maybe 6-7 weeks now, almost every week he and I have just, like, in conversation brought him up, that's Jonah Coleman. What kind of running back has he developed into for this team?
Yeah, super good. I mean, like, just a bowling ball of a body, really strong. You know, the first time that I saw Jonah Coleman run was in our indoor practice facility in the spring, and he kind of takes off up the right sideline after catching a swing pass out of the backfield, and he turns on the jets. And I was impressed not only that I saw how fast he ran by, but also that I felt the ground shaking underneath me when he ran by. Because at 230, 235, with the kind of strength and the power that he has, and then his ability to still be elusive with that weight, his jump cut is dynamic. You saw it on the 19-yard touchdown run last week against USC. Yep. And, you know, I just think there have been a lot of times this year where that guy should have been taken down in the backfield. I think 90% of power four running backs would have been hit for a TFL. And he turns it into plus four, plus six. That's a really good running back there.
Denzel Boston, I really like. Latu, the tight end, I really like. But the trigger guy we all know is Will Rogers. How much of the Mike Leach influence is in there as to how he plays the game for Jed?
You know, I would say that's probably been the only thing that has been a difficulty for Will. I mean, he's got all the experience. He's, you know, a great leader, a great kid. Locker room is totally rallied around him.
Right.
But just a lifer going out of the shotgun, now being asked to go under center, the way that he kind of has to turn his back on play action and just other things like that, that's been kind of an adjustment for him. Less time being able to, you know, read the field and the defense. That's kind of been hard. We've seen a handful of box snaps between center quarterback exchange. You know, I think all things considered, he can really read a defense. He's a different quarterback than Penix in that he doesn't have the howitzer of an arm that Penix had.
Right.
But he's super bright in the way that he sees the field, very safe with the football. You know, I think the other challenge for Will is he's not the most fleet of foot quarterback, and it is a young offensive line that has just been cobbled together. And they're, I mean, that's what I'm looking at this weekend is can this line hold up against your very physical, highly touted front six, front seven? You know, can they protect Will Rogers and give him a chance? What they will do, Steve, and as a play-by-play guy, you'll have to have your spotter all over this, is they will very randomly bring in the backup quarterback.
No,
randomly.
Williams will just come
down.
Yeah, Williams will just come in the game. And, Tony, I am the spotter.
You're old school, man. You figured out how to do it, and they're not adding to the budget, are they?
So, no, not in the least.
But Williams is dynamic. He's got a lot of talent and a really good runner. He's they call him the face of the future of Husky football. Yeah. True freshman quarterback that has a lot of moxie.
Tony Castricone joining us, the voice of Washington football and basketball, which means he has to make two trips in here this year. so then next year I get to go out and see you for basketball.
Right.
But Tony, I want to get to the defense because the defensive numbers are really good in this team. Fans will know here the name Bruner. Now, if you're a Washington fan, Bruner means everything. But for Pittsburgh Steelers fans, Mark Bruner played tight end for them. Carson Bruner, I mean, Tony, I think there are athletes that play certain sports. There are guys made for the sport. To me, Carson Bruner is a football player. Did I do well with him?
Yeah. It's character, first and foremost. You know, Mark's got an amazing family. Great wife, great kids, then adopted kids as well. They've been foster parents. You know, Mark is beloved here in Seattle, and he still works for the Steelers, I think, as a scout.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, his son Carson is just a class act. And, you know, I think not only a great leader on the inside of the defense, but he's been playing through pain all year, separated his shoulder against Washington State, and just has not been 100% all year, and yet week after Washington State he's out there full extension on an interception against Northwestern. Of course, he had two picks against SC last weekend, also led the team with 12 tackles. He was a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. And I mean, you know, there's what we really love about this defense is, you know, Brew is a fifth year guy, but we've also got a handful of other sixth year guys, you know, guys that have been here through four head coaches, through an empty stadium at COVID. I mean, guys that are just like the identity of this football team. Cam Fibikulannan is one at safety. Alfonso Tupuatala, another linebacker. Jacob Mand is on the defensive line. Drew Fowler was a walk-on for five of those 6 years at linebacker. They just got some really, really meaningful pieces. And then a guy by the name of Belichick that's running the defense as the coordinator.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you, because I know we only have a limited window with you, and that is about the new Big Ten. Now, you just coming off a game with USC, so it felt like old home week last week, including a great goal line stand, by the way, which was tremendous. But what has this felt like being in this conference first time through?
You know, it probably feels different for me than most others out here because I'm from Ohio.
Right. No,
and
I knew
so
that.
So for me, it was special to go to Kinnick Stadium and to Bloomington and now the Whiteout at Penn State. I mean, these are I grew up watching football at these stadiums, right? So, you know, to me, it's incredible. I love it. I will say it hurts my eyes to look at the standings and try to just, like, you know, you kind of, like, are used to looking for your team. And
no kidding.
Kind of just immediately, with a quick sight of the standings, you can kind of be like, you know, we're seventh. I can tell that. I got to sit there and count with my fingers, like, what place we're in right now because there's just so many teams.
Yeah.
But, you know, I am excited to be aligned with this conference. It's elite football. It's tradition. And I got to be honest, after having traveled the West Coast, you know, I do miss a lot of the places that we used to go to.
Sure.
But I think that Washington and Oregon are the two fan bases in the legacy Pac-12 that kind of most mirrored the passion and the depth of like history and tradition that that you get in the Big Ten, and so I think the brand alignment is really perfect.
Do I have time to slip in one more with you here?
Oh, absolutely,
yeah. That's about your fan base, because even to this day, and I'll mostly get this in basketball when I go down to College Park, but the Maryland fans really miss the ACC. They really do. How has the fan base at Washington felt about all this?
Yeah, it varies. I think the thing they're lamenting the most is the fact that Washington State didn't come along.
Yes.
You know, that's a historic rivalry that was our season ender forever. The Apple Cup, Washington State, is very similar to a Michigan State feel where it's houses divided. You know, a lot of friends from high school go to different colleges and all that stuff. And so, you know, the fact that that's now a week three non-league matchup, I think fans really dislike that. But I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for, A, being in a Power 2 conference, B, you know, the newness of all of this. And I do kind of wonder, like, all right, once it kind of wears off and we're in year four and you got a road game at Rutgers, like, how much are people going to be engaged with that? But I think it's going to evolve again before then. So, like, you know, I don't think we're at the final iteration of college football by any stretch. But I think our fans have been really supportive. We've sold out most games, and I think that shows just what a great job Jed has done engaging that fan base as we chart the way forward.
And believe me, the win over Michigan engaged them too, so that probably felt really good.
Right.
Tony Castricone joining us, the voice of Washington football basketball. I can't wait to see you on Saturday night, Tony. It's just great having you in the conference and the chance we get to see each other a couple times during the course of the year.
Likewise, Steve. Looking forward to meeting you in person, and cannot wait to experience this Whiteout. I've seen it on TV 15 times before and feel really blessed to be there for number 16.
Hey, Tony, great to have you. Can't wait to see you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Tony Castricone, the play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball. Tony throws his heart and soul into a broadcast. He really does. I mean, Washington makes a play, you know he makes a play. And I mean that as an absolute compliment to him. You know, kind of like the way a suit throws himself into Shikellamy football. Right? That touchdown Shikellamy call. Touchdown Shikellamy. By the time he's done with it, they're already on third down in the next possession, but it's a long call. What, Todd? What?
They don't score a lot. He needs to get his money's worth.
Oh, that was a shot. I didn't do that.
It's the seal coming out in me.
Listen to the seal. The Sealands Grove guy now shows up out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Ay, ay, ay. Come on. Oh, geez. No, they're a good football team. He mentioned the offensive line. That will be one of the critical parts of this game. Zane Durant, Devon Thomas, Abdul Carter, Deni Dennis Sutton, Smith Vilbert, Amin Vanover, Kaziah Izzer, those guys, they're going to have to, Alonzo Ford. They're, you know, if they can do what I think they're capable of doing, starting with the fact that, by the way, you have to stop that running game. You've got to, I mean, Coleman is just, man, I am just so impressed by him. And I've talked, I mean, how many times have you heard me mention Coleman's name when I've just slipped in the Washington thing? I mean, like every time.
I was
going
to say, every time, I think.
Yeah, I mean, because Jack and I just think we just really think he's good. I mean, like, you hit him, you have got to somehow get him to the ground, because if you're not getting him to the ground, he is pushing you. He may be not big in stature, but man, I'll tell you right now, he is a powerful kid. Powerful kid. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. More in a moment. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sun, ride with the sun. Sun Mary Motors.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.
Wetzel in the next half hour. Our high school roundtable continues on with the one guy that's still has his team playing. Lewisburg. And Penn State will take on Washington Saturday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time. 6:30 will be the air time for the game. Great to have Tony Castricone on again. When Washington first joined the conference, we had Tony on along with Oregon's Jerry Allen. That way people could get to know the programs a little bit better. That's why we did it. And now we've got Tony back on today talking about Washington. Washington is, when he went to Rutgers and, now Rutgers is a Friday night game, but when they went to Iowa and Indiana, they flew Thursday to go there. But for this game, they're flying here tomorrow. And they're flying directly into University Park. They'll fly back to Seattle out of Harrisburg. But the reason they're coming in tomorrow is because the game is at 8 o'clock, 5 o'clock Pacific time. They feel they can comfortably get in here, and they have all day on Saturday. So that, you know, they can adjust their schedule, sleep in, and so forth. So that's why they're just going to do it like a normal road trip.
Like, I don't know if you know this, but is like, will they walk through tomorrow when they get here? Is that, are they going to be that early?
You know what? That's a good question. I'm not sure, because I mean, this is a long trip. Now I realize getting here is a little shorter time wise because of the wind, but Seattle's the furthest part of the. You know, everybody thinks LA is. Seattle's actually a little bit further. I'd say it would probably take them from there, maybe 4:45 to get in. But the problem is going to be going back, which is, you know, fine. That's going to be about 6 hours.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Everybody, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We went from having Greg for the high school roundtable to it just being me right now. big weekend, of course, in high school football around here. The only active team left on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of channels is the Lewisburg Green Dragons. They will take on Mount Carmel. It is a home game for Lewisburg, but make sure that game is over at Milton. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock. Greg and Justin will be on the air.
Yes.
At 6:30.
Yeah. Should be a good game. Looking forward to it. Greg, how are you?
Greg here? I did not get Greg.
What's going on here? What kind of organization is this? What's going on?
I don't know. We're struggling.
You've got to stop following the Suits' lead.
I know. Hey, we went from a high school football roundtable to it coming back from breaking. It was just me, so.
That's true. That's because I was following the Suits' lead. So I will fill here while you get Mr. Wetzel on the phone. And we'll go from there. I know we were talking about Washington earlier. It was great to have Tony Castro-Cohen on, the voice of Washington football basketball. A story out of Florida today, out of Gainesville, and that is Florida is going to stick with Billy Napier as the head coach. Athletic Director Scott Strickland made the announcement today to put to rest, quote, rampant speculation about the embattled coach's future with the Gators. In a letter Thursday, Strickland stressed for the need for a disciplined, stable approach and asked Florida fans to continue to stand behind Billy Napier and his dedicated team while, quote, we work together to build a championship program. Napier is now in his third season in Florida. It's 15-18 with the Gators. They lost the opener to Miami 41-17. We know Miami's a good team. Lost 33-30 to Texas A&M 2 weeks after that, but we know Texas A&M is a really good team. Now, you're Florida. You're expecting to beat these teams, so I do understand that. They did get back-to-back wins over Mississippi State and Central Florida, and then close losses to Tennessee, and, of course, the cocktail party game at Jacksonville against Georgia was close into the fourth quarter. So they're 4-4, and 2-3 in the SEC. They've got Texas in Austin on Saturday. Then they've got LSU. Then they have Ole Miss and then Florida State. Strickland cites a lot of his optimism has to do with the way Florida's freshmen and sophomores have played of late. And DJ Lagway, who got hurt after Graham Mertz got hurt, they think he's got a hamstring right now. They think he's going to be back, maybe not this week with Texas where he's questionable, but after that they think they can get him back. Pete Thamel, it was great seeing Pete, by the way, last Friday here and talking with him, says that 70% of Florida's NIL money is tied to the freshmen and sophomores. And there is a sense that losing Napier would also mean losing Lagway, who chose the Gators to play for Napier. The buyout for Napier, by the way, is more than $26 million. Second largest in college football behind Jimbo Fisher.
You know, it's kind of funny. Steve Spurrier is really the only one that's kind of won there.
Yeah, Galen Hall got them in a great spot before Spurrier, because people think because of Spurrier that Florida has a great, long, illustrious history in football, and the reality is they do not.
I was going to say their history is basically Spurrier the coach and Spurrier the player, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much, yes. Spurrier won the Heisman Trophy in 66. And then as a coach, they won the national championship. Galen Hall was able to guide them to their first SEC championship, and that was in the early 80s. And that's, I mean, people think Florida has an illustrious football history. And they don't. Then, of course, you know, we all know that what Urban Meyer did with them. But that's, yeah. And so Napier's going to stay. Did you find Greg yet?
I texted him, and he did not answer his phone.
Oh.
I did leave him a message.
You know, I look for you to help. I get nothing. This is the Jack Hammond, Steve Jones conversation. Jack was there. He says, I'll get you for something. You give me nothing. We always have a good laugh about that. Yeah, history of Florida Gators football. They started in 1906. Okay. Let's see, overview. I don't know if they have anything. Early history, blah, blah. I don't care about their early history. They weren't very good. Let's go by years. I just want to see records. It's just, they've been okay. I mean, that's where they've been. That's a suit calling. I'll just hang up. But, let me see. It goes, I know that Galen Hall stepped in. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Galen Hall, who had just arrived for the 84 season and was not involved in any rules violations, was named interim head coach before the season's fourth game. He rallied his players from a 1-1-1 start to win 8 consecutive games, go 9-1-1, 5-0-1 in the SEC, all but assuring that he would become the permanent coach at the end of the season. The SEC, though, banned the Gators from the Sugar Bowl, and LSU went in their place. 2 weeks after the end of the season, the NCAA imposed 2 years of probation, a third year was suspended, and banned the Gators from bowl games and live television in 85 and 86. The most damaging sanction in the long run was 20 loss, limiting to 20 new scholarships. The SEC presidents voted 6-4 to vacate the 84 SEC championship. They posted a 9-1-1 record in 85, Hall's first full season as the head coach, and was briefly ranked number one. I remember when Galen had that team number one. And they finished the season atop the SEC standings, but were ineligible for the conference title. Although he never had a losing season, Hall's subsequent teams did not match the early success. And because of what Charlie Pell had done, they had problems. Now, who was the best player he had during his time there? Galen Hall. Galen's best player, and he told me enough stories about him, was Emmett Smith. Not bad, huh?
No, not at all. And it's funny, because in the fog of history, I always thought that Galen was involved in the recruiting violations, and that's why he wasn't in Florida anymore.
No. Galen had zero to do with it. None. And I can assure you, as somebody who knows Galen pretty well, there's no way in heck Galen would have been involved in that. That's not him. He was like, why was David Braun, for example, named the interim head coach at Northwestern last year? Because he was the last guy hired on the staff. That was Galen. Okay, that was Galen. Let's see, championships. Okay, those are national titles, 96, 2006, 2008. SEC, 84, 85. Yeah, that 84 title was the first ever. 85 was the second ever. Galen had those. They had never had a conference championship until 85, 86. Then finally Spurrier came in, and they won the conference title with Spurrier in 91, 93, 94, 95, 96, and 2000. Then Urban came in, and they won in 2006, 2008, and won the national championship in each of those years.
I am no fan of either school, and it's faded now, but I used to have a T-shirt that was my favorite T-shirt. The front of it said, Will Rogers said he never met a man he didn't like, and the back of it says, Will Rogers never met Steve Spurrier. Go Noahs.
You know, when Spurrier played Joe in a Citrus Bowl, and Penn State was shorthanded, this was the one where they didn't have Joe Jurevicius, they didn't have Curtis Enos, remember that?
Yeah.
And he had Fred Taylor as his running back. When the game was over, Spurrier mailed Joe his visor. Yeah, Joe still had it, by the way. I mean, Joe still had the visor. He's like, can you believe that? I said, yeah. I said, I can.
Did he sign it?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, now we talk about 10, 11 win seasons, right? As a basis, the first 10-win season for Florida, remember, they started playing in 1906. It was 1991. The first one they ever had. 1991. So in a program that began playing in 1906, now obviously you're not going to be able to get the 10 wins. You know, I mean, they only played six games in 1911, for example. But, you know, you started playing 10 games in 1925. And guess what? They never got the 10 wins in the season until 1991. Again, they don't have an illustrious football history until you get to the last 30-something years.
And now they've spent the last 15 kind of chasing that.
Well, they have not. The last time they won 10 games in the season was 2019. They were 11-2. That's the last time. They've only had, let's see, since 2012, they've had three 10-win seasons. That's it. Okay? In fact, if you go back to Urban's last season when they went 8-5, and that was the one where they beat Penn State in the Outback Bowl. In a game, Penn State lost the game. Okay? Let's be honest. Penn State lost the game. Since 2010, so starting in 2010, so the last 15 years, to your point, they have four 10-win seasons. That's it. They went 11 in 2012, 10 in 2015, 10 in 18, 11 in 19, and that's it. They have one 9-win season in that grouping.
That's kind of like Florida State Street the last couple of years. I think I read that's right. You know, last year and, 2 years ago, they had the 12-win, the two big seasons, and other than that, they have, like, five losing seasons.
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Remember, it was... Miami has never won the ACC title since joining the ACC. Who would have ever thought that? Florida State, at least with Bobby Bowden, and at one point with Jimbo, same thing. But let's go back to Florida State. They've had two 10-win seasons since 2016. They won 10 in 2022, and we all know they won 13 last year. That's it. The most wins they had outside of those two seasons is 7 in 2017. Seven. Think about that. It's Florida State. And until Bobby Bowden got there, you want to talk about the program that did almost nothing? That's them. Until Bobby Bowden got there, they really had done very little at Florida State. But since 2016, they have two 10-win seasons. That's it.
They did give us Lee Corso and Burt Reynolds in that early span, though.
They did. They've been under 500 one, two, three, four, five times since 2016, including this year, because they're not going to clear 500 this year. Five times under 500.
What was it? 15 straight years in the top five for Bobby Bowden?
Yeah, let's
Something
see here.
Ridiculous like that?
Yeah, Bobby Bowden. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 15 times Bowden finished in the top five. That's a lot. Which brings me, that brings me to this. I mean, we're talking about Florida and Florida State. Now, those are, in today's college football world, those are two big names, right? Maybe not have said that in the 60s or the 70s, but today we think of them that way, correct?
Correct.
And here, and I know Penn State's coming off a really tough one, but goodness gracious. I mean, I'm not so sure people know how good they've had it here.
Well, to be honest, with some of the commentary around the loss to Ohio State, I'm not sure they still do.
Well, no, and I understand, the passion of it, please. I am not in any way, shape, or form discounting at all the passion of the commentary. Not in the least. And I'm not criticizing it either. I'm not criticizing that. Nope. That would be wrong on my part to do that. Right? Fans have high expectations. I want a fan base to have very high expectations. Very high. Okay? But when you start looking at other programs, just, you know, I'm mentioning this for perspective. We just talked about Florida State. Penn State, since 2016, has had five 10-win seasons. Four of them are 11 wins.
You make a wrong decision in your hiring choice at Penn State, and now you're Nebraska.
Right. And Nebraska is so baffling. Nebraska has not been to a bowl game since 2016, which means they haven't been bowl eligible. That means they haven't been over 500, Todd. See, that's what that tells you. They have not been over 500 since 2016. That's remarkable.
Didn't they fire Frank Solich for 9 wins?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that's, you know, and of course, Bo Pelini was let go. All right. We see Nebraska football here. Just to look that up just for a moment. It's stunning because, I mean, they're on the verge of it now, but they just lost to UCLA. I mean, it's like, you know, which would have given them their sixth win. And they've sold out every game, and I realize that there have been donors that have bought tickets up to keep this going. I mean, just to be honest with everybody, but since 1962, they've all been sellouts. Remarkable. But they haven't made a bowl game since 2016. It's just kind of mind-boggling that a program that is always been among the blue bloods Since 2016, they've gone 4-8, 4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9, 4-8, 5-7. Right now, they're 5-4. They haven't won more than five games in a season since they went 9-4 in 2016. They've got since 2016, 4-8, 4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9, 4-8, 5-7, 5-4. They haven't won 10 games in the season since 2012. Bo Pelini won 10 games in 9, 10, and 12. And they told him thanks, but no thanks after back-to-back 9-4s. Let me see where they end up. Yeah. Back-to-back 9-4s, they told me it wasn't good enough. Okay. And they brought in Mike Riley, who's a very good coach, by the way. And Riley's the last one to get him a winning record, 9-4. He had 2 9-4s sandwiching a 6-7. But he had a 9-4 record. And you're like, okay, really? Not good enough. Then he went 4-8 in 17. That's what cooked them. So they brought in Scott Frost. Never had a winning season. Frank Solich, what was his crime? Went 7-7 and 9-3. That was his crime. Yep. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Amazing, huh?
It's a different world, as you well know. That decision is more important than ever. And these people, you know, begging for something to happen to James, I don't know where you go to make it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just point people to Nebraska.
Yeah. They keep searching for something there. And I don't know where the search is going to lead them. And as you know, I like Matt a lot. I mean, Matt's a great guy. But yeah. I don't know. And Matt's the kind of guy you root for. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.